I would like to welcome everyone to the teleclass, Hand Hygiene, Different Approaches. My name is Paul Weber, and on behalf of my friend and colleague, Dr. Syed Sattar, it is an honor to have all of you join us today. I'm also pleased to say that this teleclass is being sponsored by Deb Medical Hand Hygiene. Deb has been a great supporter of infection control professionals and of teleclass education for quite a long time, and it is certainly a pleasure to thank them for their sponsorship of this teleclass. At the always interesting annual conference of the Community and Hospital Infection Control Association in Thunder Bay last June, I sat in on Dr. Manfred Rotter's lectures on hand hygiene. They were stunningly effective, and I decided right there and then that I had to get him to give a teleclass. Dr. Rotter is a professor of hygiene and medical microbiology. He is, in fact, world-renowned for his research and teaching, and he's also an exceptionally nice man. I am so pleased that he's able to give this teleclass today, and he has a lot to say, so I won't take up any more of his time. From the Medical University in Vienna, Austria, to present the teleclass, Hand Hygiene, Different Approaches, it is my honor to introduce Dr. Manfred Rotter. Dr. Rotter.
Hello, everyone. I hope you can hear me properly. I'm speaking from the city of Bregenz. That's the westernmost part of Austria, next to the Lake Constance, in the middle of Europe, just on the border of Switzerland and South Germany. And for me, this is an unusual experience to give a lecture without having the possibility to read in my audience's faces, whether you understand me or not. But however, I hope it will be a beneficial experience to you and to me as well. Well, trying to speak about different approaches in hand hygiene, I may remind you that there are quite different opinions in Europe, or at least in German-speaking Europe, and North America. And I'm trying to sort out what we think is important and to explain what we think about opinions as they are held in North America. Now, let's start with the fundamental things. Microbial flora of hands. What is dangerous? Now, the North American, or I think he was in the United States, surgeon Price, he distinguished between resident flora of the skin and the transient flora. And we have added the so-called infectious flora, that is flora stemming from actual infections of the hands. Now, let's speak a bit about the features of transient flora. The transient flora, that is the one that is just picked up by chance, by hands, by touching wounds, skin, the surrounding. Now, it does not multiply in or on the skin. It rather dies off, as you know. And it's easily mechanically removable, for instance, by washing hands. And its pathogenic importance depends on the species, the virulence, as well as local or systemic resistance of the host. Now, I may remind you of the work of Ignaz Philipp Semmelweis. If you look at the fourth of the slides you have in hand, you have a graph depicting the maternal mortality in those days, 1846 to 1848, and you'll see that at the first imperial obstetric university clinic in Vienna, which was the greatest in those days in the world, they had a terrible maternal mortality reaching in certain months up to 18%, which means that every fifth mother died of an infection. And Semmelweis, he was eager to find out why this is so, especially because in the neighbor clinic, which was a private clinic, this was not so. They had a much lower maternal mortality, and he was trying to find out why this is so. and he was observing facts that might be a reason for that. And then suddenly his friend Kolechka, he was a professor of pathology, and he died after he has been cut by a student during a section, and he got a finger wound infection, and after that he died of septicemia. And Semmelweis found that this was exactly the anatomical pathological picture his mothers die of, and he said there must be something. He didn't know anything about bacteria. There must be something that is introduced coming from the dead cadavers, from the dead corpses, and that is introduced into the body, and that might cause this picture. And he called these cadaveric particles, and suddenly he had the idea that he and his students were coming from the mortuary room, dissecting room. Of course, they washed hands afterwards, but then they entered for vaginal examination, the mothers, the future mothers, and many of them died. And he had the idea, this must be the cause. We introduce cadaveric particles into our mothers' bodies, and then all this happened. And then he decided, as one can smell after a dissection, one can smell even after washing hands, this deadly odor. And he decided that everyone who entered a labor room had to wash his hands in chlorinated lime solution. He has chosen this because in those days, this was known to destroy the smell. And he said, we must destroy chemically these cadaveric particles, and it is not enough to wash hands. And you can see from the graph I've given you in 1847, this was mid of May, how suddenly the maternal mortality went down. There were then two small accidents at the end of the year, but after that, he had reached the maternal mortality as it was observed in the neighboring second obstetric clinic. Okay, this shows that the transient flora can have quite an important in the pathology of human beings. Resident flora of hands, on the other hand, this is the next slide, consists of staphylococci, mainly Staphylococcus epidermidis, other coagulase negative staphylococci, sometimes Staphylococcus aureus. We all know that there are carriers, which are a very great problem, of course, in some hospitals, micrococci, diphtheria rods, and sometimes also gram-negative rods like Acinetobacter species, Klebsiella species, or Enterobacter. This all has been described already. Now, the features of these resident flora are they multiply in and on the upper strata of the skin, and they're difficult to remove mechanically. The surgeon Price has told us that a 5-minute or 6-minute wash by soap and water would reduce the release of these bacteria every 5 minutes. Now, this is very poor, of course, if you think you have 1 million of release, and after 5 minutes you still have 500,000 and so on. So this is not good. So we have to use for a stronger reduction chemicals. And this can either be antiseptics or antibiotics, but of course antibiotics we don't want on the hands. We all know that this resident flora has a protective function in the sense of a colonization resistance, so that many pathogenic bacteria cannot reside on the skin for a longer time. They cannot multiply there. And the pathogenic importance is usually rather low, except in tissues, in sterile body cavities, and especially there together with foreign bodies. Now, to come to the microbial flora of infected skin lesions, This is flora of pathogenic importance. It has proven its pathogenic importance, usually Staphylococcus aureus in a Panaritium or Paronychia, or Streptococci, especially Streptococcus pyogenes. Now, with all this knowledge, we can devise strategies for the prevention of the microbial transfer via hands. First, we should think of how we can reduce the release of transient flora, now without regard of the resident flora, because this is very important in the wards and in the care, in the patient care. Now, we have to distinguish between two situations. Hands are still clean, and then the motto is to keep hands clean. This can be done with the so-called no-touch technique. You use instruments instead of fingers. One can open wound dressings with instruments. One can set bladder catheters. That's all possible with scissors and other instruments. Or we can use protective gloves. And there's the other situation, that is, hands are already contaminated, and the motto would be, render your hands clean. Now, if this is without any known dangerous contamination, you have just measured the blood pressure, or you have shaken patient's hands and so, then it's just enough to wash hands from one patient to the other, or you can also use a hygienic hand rub. I'm going to explain what this is in a minute. When, on the other hand, hands have been contaminated with patient secretions or excretions, blood, and after touching infected sites, then one should have a hygienic hand rub with a previous hand wash just to get rid of the secretion, excretion. But then for disinfecting hands, one has to use this hygienic hand rub. And also the same is true after finishing microbiology work in the laboratory, then we use a hygienic hand rub in order not to carry pathogens out of the laboratory. Now, how good are all these procedures? Now, let's look at the next slide. It's the slide number 9. How well can we reduce the release in a laboratory situation with volunteers, test bacteria from artificially contaminated hands by washing with soap and water? And this, of course, depends on the duration of the wash. Now, if we take 15 seconds, then we have a mean log reduction of 0.6 to 1.1 log. I may remind you that a reduction of one log means a reduction by 90% to 10%, and a mean log reduction or a log reduction of two logs means a hundredfold reduction, so to 1%, and so on. Now, if we prolong this hand wash to 30 seconds, then we come with a reduction of between 1.8 and 2.8 logs. Now, this is, of course, much better. And if we even prolong to 1 minute, then we come to 2.7 log to 3 log. That means to 1/1000th of what hands have given off before the hand wash. Now, it's not very good to prolong hand wash to 2 and 4 minutes. Even 1 minute is very long. But for experimental situations and for experimental purposes, please remember 1 minute gives, with a hand wash, gives a log reduction of the bacterial release of 2.7 to 3 logs. Of course, there are better methods we can use. Instead of ordinary soap, we can use medicated soap, aseptic soaps. Now, let's try when we wash contaminated hands for 1 minute. Now, in one of our experiments where we did them all together, next slide, we have povidone iodine detergent. You see, we have a mean log reduction of 3.8. Now, this is significantly better than the 3 logs we have achieved with washing hands. If we use a chlorhexidine gluconate detergent, 4% in concentration, then we will have a little less efficient reduction, 3.1. And if we use a triclosan liquid soap, even less, and a phenolic liquid soap, even more less, and an octenidine deliquid soap, that's a quaternary ammonium compound similar to chlorhexidine, even less. And if we just wash hands with ordinary sapocalinus, a stinky sapocalinus, we have a log reduction of 2.7. That means that all these chemical soaps, triclosan, bifenylol, octenidine, are not any better than ordinary soap, but they're, of course, much more expensive. Now, with the chlorhexidine gluconate soap, we know that chlorhexidine is, of course, rather a potent disinfectant, but it is slow. And that is the reason why we achieve only a mean reduction of 3.1 logs in this experiment, and it was just not significantly better than sapocalinus in this experiment. Okay, so let's go to the next slide and try how good is a hygienic hand rub with some of the substances given in this slide. A hygienic hand rub means rubbing a chemical, liquid chemical, into the hands in order to reduce the release of bacterial flora. And we can do this without any harm to the skin, either with one of these three alcohol species, either N-propanol or isopropanol or ethanol, or also with a povidone iodine solution. Now, this is an aqueous solution. This is not the soap, because this aqueous solution is, as you will see in a minute, much more efficacious than is the soap. Now, if you look at this slide, let's look at the N-propanol. You will see that there is a clear association between the concentration of the alcohol and the log reduction. We come from a 40% N-propanol with a log reduction of 4.3 to a log reduction of 5.8 with a concentrated N-propanol. And if you do the same with isopropanol, we have the same situation, and the same is also true for ethanol. If we want to compare what is the best species, then let's just compare the same concentration, let's say N-propanol, 60% by volume, isopropanol, 60% in ethanol. And then you see with N-propanol, we have a log reduction of 5.5, and with isopropanol, 4.2 to 4.4, that is significantly less, and with ethanol, even less, to 3.8. So we know we have an exact range of efficacy, N-propanol being the most efficacious alcohol, isopropanol and ethanol. Now, in the new European test methods for testing disinfectants for the hygienic hand rub, isopropanol has been chosen just arbitrarily, 60% as a reference. And each new hand disinfectant for the hygienic hand rub has to compare with this reference, which is tested on the same test persons on the same day and under similar circumstances. So we aim at a reduction of, let's say, 4 to 4.5, and then a new hygienic hand drop is in order. Just to compare, you see povidone iodine solution is quite efficacious. It is just not significantly less efficacious than our reference isopropanol. Let's go to the next slide. We have done a three-center trial. V stands for laboratory in Vienna. This was our laboratory. M is for Mainz in Germany. And B is Birmingham. And you see, we tried to do five experiments in each laboratory with N-propanol, isopropanol, ethanol 70%, plus chlorhexidine 0.5%, and povidone iodine soap. And you can see, if you look at the grand means, the most right is a phenolic soap. The second from the right is povidone iodine. And both are not very good, just having a log reduction of a bit more than 3. Then we come on with ethanol 70%, which is much better, in the mean 3.8. And then we have isopropanol, about 4.2. And the best is M-propanol, 50%. This was in this three-center trial. Look at the next slide. There we have tried how good was Semmelweis's hand disinfection, which he did with, if you worked it back, with a 4% chlorinated solution in terms of the test protocol according to the European norm, EN1500, that is the one I just explained, where we compare with isopropanol 60% by volume. And you can see with bar soap, we found a mean reduction of 3 logs. That's what we always find. And then with our new reference, isopropanol 60%, 1 minute, about 4.1. But Semmelweis's method to wash hands in a chlorinated lime solution until hands become slippery, and it takes 5 minutes, then you have a log reduction of 5.5. And now we understand why he was that successful with this hand disinfection. There's a new trend, especially in North America, that is alcohol. Okay, but not like we use it in liquid state, but in a gel, an alcoholic gel. And we have tried several of these gels. Come with me to the next slide, and there you look at the number 5, and you see ethanol, and you see it was used, or the gel contains 60% by volume, and if you use 2 times 3 mL, that is 2 times 30 seconds, then we have a mean log reduction of 3.5, which compares to 4.1 of the reference. Now, this means, in the terms of the European norm, this gel would have failed. And the same is true for the next gel, 60%, and that is just used only once until dry. And it also failed against the reference. And if you take the next 60% alcohol gel, it also failed. Now, you can use, of course, a higher concentration of ethanol in gels. If you use 7A, then you see if it is used once, 3 mL once, it takes about 30 seconds until dry, you see it still fails. The reference is still significantly better. But if you use it as the reference, 2 times 3 mL, that is 2 times 30 seconds, that is 1 minute, like the reference, then you see there is no significant difference between both, and the 90% ethanol gel would, in terms of the European norm, be a good hand disinfectant. Let's try another alcohol. I told you that isopropanol is better, and there exist a few gels on the basis of N-propanol or propan-2-ol. That's the same. Now, if we use, number one, the 60%, and we just use once 2 mL until dry, this will fail. 2.9 log reduction against 4.2. If you do the same plus a certain concentration, which I don't know, of triclosan, and you use this 2 times 3 mL, that is 1 minute, it still fails. And if you use a 60% isopropanol plus phenoxyethanol, and you use it also for 1 minute, then this gel would have passed. Or if you use isopropanol plus butandiol, that's for A, for B, if you use it only once, then it would fail, 3.8 against 4.4, the reference. But if you use it as the reference for 1 minute, then it would pass. Okay? Now let's come back to the to ethanol 90%, because that seems interesting, and I'm using here the published results of Kampf et al. They have published this in the Journal of Hospital Infection in 2002, and you see that in all four experiments, a 90% ethanol gel passed the European norm. Okay, so that means alcohols seem to be a very good choice for hygienic hand rub. You don't need a water place, a washing place. You can put dispensers next to the patient's bed. But you have to look for a few things. You must never use the alcoholic hand disinfectant on wet hands. Look what happens if you use the alcohol on dry hands, that is isopropanol 60%, have the expected log reduction of 4.3. But if you have wet hands, see, the efficacy is going down because the alcohol, it's only a very small volume of alcohol, is diluted. And that means dilution is death for the alcoholic microbicidal activity. Okay, another concern is sometimes the fire hazard. Now, I don't know how this is in North America. In Europe, there exist regulations, fire regulations, that any flammable liquid with a flash point of 21 degrees centigrade can be stored in much bigger quantities than below, if the flash point is below. Now, we have had a look at these flash points, and you see with ethanol, you have a flash point of 21 degree at a concentration of 68% by volume. Now, 68% by volume is not very good, as we have seen. It's just not enough for the bactericidal efficacy. If you look at isopropanol, flash point of 21 degrees at 70% concentration, and this is very good. 70% isopropanol is good and rub. And if we look at n-propanol, you see the flash point is at an even higher concentration here, that is at 82%. We still have a flash point of 21 degree at this high concentration, not as volatile as the other alcohols. And 82% is very active in bactericidal terms. Okay, I didn't tell you anything about the virus disinfection. Alcohols against viruses, are they active or not? Well, this is not our work. This is the work of Professor Sattar in Canada, and Professor Steinmann, Bremen in Germany, and they have told us, as other workers of course too, that enveloped viruses are easily disinfected with alcohols, but the non-enveloped are the problem. And the best here is ethanol, but still, coronaviruses are difficult to disinfect, but it is possible, and the most difficult seems to be hepatitis A virus. Ethanol is working against noroviruses. It's very well working against hepatitis B virus. And the propanols are much less efficacious, except perhaps norovirus is not so bad with n-propanol, and rotaviruses can also be disinfected with n-propanol. But n-propanol, I understand, is not common in North America since it is not regarded as old substance, as old agent, so probably it would need a acceptance of the FDA, I understand. Okay, let's go to strategies for the prevention of microbial transfer now regarding the release of transient and resident flora. This is your picture number 19. And here is the motto, prevent microbial release from the hands. Now, this is important before surgical activity because we have said that the resident flora also can be pathogenic if it is in sterile body cavities or in sterile tissues, especially in connection with foreign bodies, which often occurs with in surgery. Now, we all know what the surgeons do. They use a surgical hand scrub, and then they put on surgical gloves, sterile gloves. But we all know, look at the next slide, number 20, that gloves are often perforated, or torn, or lesioned. This is especially true for orthopedic surgery. Now, we have here data from Jan Hoben. He has found out that on the left hand, most people are right-handers, so they lesion their left-hand gloves with the scalpel, and in about 47% these gloves are lesioned, much less in right hands. And in soft tissue surgery, the perforation of surgical gloves is not as often, but still often enough to look for an additional procedure which prevents a surgical or surgical site infection. Now, does this occur? Well, we have looked at this very old data of Cruz and Ford, and where they speak about clean surgery and clean surgery and the outcome of clean surgery with glove lesion and without glove lesions. See from the next slide, when there was a glove lesion during the operation, they had an infection ratio of 5.3, and this is significantly more often than when no surgical glove lesion was reported, where they found an infection ratio of only 1.7%. That is the reason why surgeons use a surgical hand scrub, and this can be done with different things. Now look please at the slide 22, where we have the efficacy of some surgical hand treatments. Well, you know, in former times, surgeons used to scrub their hands with soap and water for 10 minutes, really lesioning the skin, then with a brush too, and you see that the effect is very, very poor. Now, after 5 minutes scrubbing hands with soap, with liquid soap, we have only a mean log reduction, an immediate log reduction immediately after treatment of 0.4. Now, this is very poor, and you see that under the glove, if we observe for 3 hours, the resident flora is going up, it's regrowing, and we have more than at the starting point. So this is really not the idea, and one should only very shortly wash hands before a surgical hand scrub with soap and water in order to get rid of dirt and so. What is the best? Well, if you come down and look at the reduction, see that with N-propanol, 60% by volume, we have a very good reduction of about 2.6 logs. Of course, we know alcohols have no residual activity, no sustained activity, so under the gloves, we have a regrowth, a bacterial regrowth, but look, after 3 hours, at 8 minutes, we still are far away from the start point. But it means if we have a very good immediate reduction, that takes hours for the regrowth of the hand flora. Now, and in between we have, let's go up, a 70% isopropanol. If you look, that's this pink alcohol, is not quite as effective, but quite good as N-propanol, the green one, is 60% isopropanol. Now, this is, of course, less efficacious, as we expect, but it is about as efficacious as is povidone iodine solution, a 10% iodine solution, so this is quite good. And now let's look to substances which surgeons like especially well. There we have the red line, povidone iodine liquid soap. You see, of course, The immediate effect is significantly better than that of ordinary liquid soap, but the immediate reduction is only one log. Now, in comparison to n-propanol, this is poor. And there is no residual activity, there is no sustained activity. Goes up the release of resident flora from the hands, and after 180 minutes, you see we are nearly at the starting point. Okay, then we have the special situation with chlorhexidine detergent. We all know that chlorhexidine has a very good sustained activity. It is slow, but this might be enough in surgery because we have more time than on the wards. And you see the immediate effect is a bit less efficacious than that of povidone iodine liquid soap, but significantly better than ordinary liquid soap. And we have an clearly expressed sustained activity, and reduced release, bacterial release, is kept for 3 hours, no doubt. Can we combine the quick alcoholic immediate effect with the sustained effect of chlorhexidine? Yes, we can. Look down again. We have a combination of isopropanol 70% plus chlorhexidine 0.5%. And in this of our experiments, you see, we have a wonderful immediate effect of more than 2.5 logs. And we have the sustained activity of chlorhexidine lasting, well, still there after 180 minutes. Of course, we must keep in mind that with chlorhexidine in the alcohol, we have, of course, a greater risk of having a bad skin tolerability. This occurs. Okay, just to show you that this is true also in other situations, when we have a look at the next slide, please, 23, we have done and tested the new European testing norm for surgical hand disinfectant, EN12791. And with that, we have also a reference, and this reference is propan 1-ol, that is N-propanol, 60%. Every surgical hand disinfectant must compare positively with this reference. Now look, we have tried in our laboratory 5 times, just to try out this norm. We have tested 4 substances. Let's start at the right. Chlorhexidine gluconate soap, 5 times. Yellow points are right hands, the red points are left hands. And you see, we come out with about 0.9 log reduction after a treatment of 3 minutes. Propanol, isopropanol, that is the propan 2-ol, 70% is much better. It's 1.7. And ethanol, 85% by volume, is even better. And then propanol, N-propanol, propan 1-ol is the best on our left, nearly 3 log reduction in this experiment. If you look at the next slide, 24, we have done an inter-laboratory study in which our laboratory was not involved, but these were 5 other laboratories. And you see, here we have again this problem. Come to the right-hand results, and this is for chlorhexidine gluconate soap. We again land at a reduction of about 1 log, and then we come to the isopropanol 70%, which gives us a reduction of 1.6 log, and then we come to ethanol 85% of about 2 log reduction, and the mean in these 5 laboratories of N-propanol was 2.4 logs. So you see, we have exactly the same range of order. And so it seems that this test norm works. Okay. Is there any influence of the application time? There are publications saying, it doesn't make any difference whether you do a surgical scrub for 1 minute or for 10 minutes. Well, in fact, if you really look at it under controlled conditions, and we have done it with our volunteers in a controlled laboratory experiment, just looking on the effect of on the resident flora and just on the immediate effect. Now look what the application time does. You see 1 minute against 3 minutes against 5 minutes application time, and we've done it with M-propanol 60%, and you see with 1 minute we have 1.1 log, with 3 minutes 2.0 log, and 5 minutes 2.3 log. And we've done it also with isopropanol in the same experiment, isopropanol 70%. I told you it's a little bit less efficacious than 60% N-propanol, and we've seen this just in the other slides, 0.7 for 1 minute, 1.5 log 3 minutes, and 5 minutes, 2.1 logs. Now, there's a clear, highly significant trend towards better efficacy if you do your alcoholic hand disinfection longer. Okay. Now, how good are the alcoholic gels for a surgical hand rub? Well, let's look at the on the immediate effect, because the immediate effect is the important effect. As we have shown, it takes very long the resident flora to regrow. Now, let's look at ethanol, 90%. There is a gel, 90% by volume. And if this is done 3 times, N times 3 mL, so just to keep hands wet for 3 milliliters, then you see the product did it in the first experiment, 2.4 log reduction, and the reference was only 2.8 log reduction. So that means in this experiment, this gel would have passed. And then we have two other experiments reported by Kampf, and you see also in these experiments the high concentrated alcohol ethanol gel has passed the test. Now, how should the technique of surgical hand disinfection be then, if we know all this? Before the surgeon starts his day, he should, of course, have a short social hand wash, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. It's just for cleaning. It's just for removing the dirt, but not removing the bacteria. There are many bacteria going with that, of course. And very important, the subungual spaces should be cleaned, best with a nail stick. And then the brush should be used only for the nails. Don't brush skin, because that would reduce the dermal tolerability against the alcohol. Then hands must be dried. You remember, diluted alcohol does not work. Hands must be dried with a clean towel, need not be sterile. And then rub on an alcoholic preparations onto the hands, up to the elbows in the first time, and taking as much and often as is necessary to keep hands wet for 3 minutes. You can do it such that in a first movement you include the elbows, in a second movement you just go to the forearms, and in the third movement you go back to the hands only, and take as much disinfectant as is necessary to keep hands wet for 3 minutes. Don't go into the gloves with wet hands, alcohol wet hands under rubber. That's a dermal, that's a terrible dermal stress. Never should be done. So dry your hands before donning gloves. Okay, next slide. How is this with infectious lesions? Well, people with infected hands, whether a paneritium or a boil somewhere, should never do any activities in surgery. They should not handle foodstuff. Of course, they should not work with pharmaceuticals. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we know from our experiments about the efficacy of hand disinfectants. But to conclude, we must always keep in mind, without being used, is the best hand disinfectant, it will not do what it is expected to do, namely prevent hand-borne infection. With the medical personnel who achieve compliance with the rules of hand hygiene is obviously a very difficult task, and we all have problems in convincing them that they really should do what is necessary. And I may refer to the invaluable work of my colleagues who have the practical experience in this field. And among these are my colleagues in Britain, Dr. Lowbury, he did classical work, and Dr. Ayliffe. And in North America, I may refer to the work of Dr. Aileen Larson, and in France to Dr. Didier Pittet, and again in the USA to Dr. John Boyce. I thank you very much for your attention.
Well, Dr. Rotter, thank you very much for an excellent presentation. I do have a question. There's a lot of research on alcohols, on antibacterial or antibiotic agents. What is the next frontier in hand hygiene research?
Well, I'm afraid, as we know now nearly everything about the efficacy of very good disinfectants, we should really direct our interest to how we could achieve a better compliance to stick to the rules of hand hygiene. And this is very difficult. I don't know how to do, because this is obviously inside mankind, not to be too strict and conscious always, especially if there is little time and if there's time stress. But I think research should be done in this direction further on.
You refer to 90% ethanol. We usually only see 60 to 70%. Is this a European formulation?
Yes, that's a European formulation. I tried to show that 60% in terms of the European norm would not be enough. That's also true for liquid ethanol, not only for the gel.
We were talking about the efficacy of surgical hand disinfection.
Yes.
And we're talking about the isopropanol, 70%, and chlorhexidine. Could you generalize that to surgical skin preps for wounds, like incision lines?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. In Austria, we have the rule, what is good on hands for surgical hand disinfection is also good for skin preparation, except you must not have all these refattening emollients when you do it for skin disinfections. It should be all right.
How does one deal with, you know that the type of alcohol has a better kill, but the strength of the alcohol, the smell, so a higher, say, ethanol, is less acceptable to staff. So if you know that you have good kill on a product, but staff do not accept the product because of the feel or the smell, how do you reconcile that?
Yeah, it's really a difficult question, because some people really don't like alcoholic smell, you're right, and they wouldn't use it, I'm quite sure. So you won't have compliance. And, well, in this case, I have to go back to what you did till now, namely wash hands with soap and water. That's better than doing nothing, or with an antiseptic soap. But I really doubt that antiseptic soaps are worth their price in this situation. Because of the wart, you have no time. For a proper efficacy, you have to take time, you know. A chlorhexidine soap would not be a good choice in the wart. So povidone iodine might be better. Of course, one solution is, but they wouldn't accept it either. You can use povidone iodine solution, but then you have yellow hands, and then again, you have to wash it away. So I don't think that's a choice.
But if you are dealing with kind of which is sort of the good and the bad and the ugly, would it be better to deal with, say, a lower percent alcohol in favor of staff compliance than a slightly higher percent one if you want to go to the way of improving compliance or adherence because they will do so more with an alcohol product? It's a dilemma of, can you go with the slightly less one and have more buy-in?
I doubt that a little less concentrated alcohol will have much less smell. So I'm afraid that I wouldn't accept it either.
When inserting peripheral or central lines, what is the preparation of choice for cleaning the skin at this point in time? I understand CDC has come out with new guidelines.
Well, there is this nice paper by Markey, who investigated comparatively povidone iodine solution, chlorhexidine, aqueous chlorhexidine, and ethanol, or was it isopropanol, 70%, I think. And he came out with a result that for a central line, skin disinfection and care afterwards, chlorhexidine, aqueous chlorhexidine came out the best. And this is not very surprising. I do believe that. It came out in what terms? Let me explain. Not only local infection, but also bacteremia. And I can understand that because when the catheter goes in and out, you know, you can't really fix it so, then skin flora is taken in and can grow into the canal too. And this will be inhibited by chlorhexidine very effectively, whereas the alcohol is gone.
Ah, the alcohol is gone. So an aqueous product would be more effective than the alcohol base.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Not at all.
Thank you again, Dr. Rotter, for a tremendous presentation and lots of information. My thanks to Deb Medical Hand Hygiene for their sponsorship of this teleclass, and especially to all of you who've made the time to join this teleclass live or by recording. Until we meet again, stay safe. Goodbye.